Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Comedy coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear Katharine Hepburn, Jimmy Stewart, and Cary Grant in an adaptation of the film The Philadelphia Story. But right now, it's The Bob Hope Show with special guest Jack Webb. We'll hear a Dragnet parody in this next broadcast, first heard on NBC on February 4th, 1953.
Transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Jack Webb. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'm very happy to be here tonight. I've been keeping my fingers crossed all week with this flu that's going around. It's really an epidemic, you know. In fact, there's so much flu in show business that Phil Spitalny is advertising Evelyn and her magic thermometer. One doctor had so many cases of flu, he rented a helicopter and sprayed Pasadena with penicillin. And Jane Russell's got a slight cold. Doctors came from as far away as Alaska for the examination. And those cold germs are everywhere. On the Lawrence Welk show, that bubbling music is now done with Alka-Seltzer. I tuned in and heard Crosby singing the other night. I'm sure he's sick. And people are staying home on account of this epidemic. There's so few cars in the streets, it disrupted traffic on Sunset Boulevard. To have an accident now, you have to make an appointment. And I hear that Phil Harris is flat on his back. Of course, with Phil, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It could just be hardening of the old Forester. Phil Harris really does have an ailment, you know. He has termites. He got them from breathing in too much sawdust. I got the sniffles and rushed to Hollywood Hospital last night, and I must have gotten in the wrong entrance. At 3 a.m, a nurse woke me up and said, "Congratulations, it's a 7-pound boy." But there's one sure remedy for flu. You drink a glass of hot lemon juice while breathing into a paper bag with a belladonna plaster on your back, and at the same time you inhale menthol in your nose while you keep your feet in a hot mustard bath. On second thought, it's easier just to go. My doctor told me to be very careful during this outbreak. He said to avoid everything that might pass germs from one person to another, even money. So I took his advice. I went out to Santa Anita. Going to Santa Anita is rough. It takes so much out of me. Santa Anita is sort of a garbage disposal, but with money. Santa Anita's in a beautiful setting. Mountains on one side, hock shops on the other. I haven't seen so much money go down the drain since Crosby luxed out his money belt. And it was really a big crowd out there. Santa Anita hasn't been affected much by inflation. They still have a lot of $2 windows, only now they're in the Coca-Cola machines. I have a system of betting, and I've never had to walk home yet for one very good reason. There's no window where you can bet your car. I finally got a horse that could win a race. They let him run all by himself. And in the last race, I bet every cent I had, and my horse would have won, but he had a cautious streak in him. He followed along behind the other horses, yelling, "This is just reckless, fellas, going so fast in all this smog." I want to tell you, it's nice to have the tourists with us. I drove up alongside of a car from Kansas, and I said to the woman driving it, "Congratulations, you give hand signals just like we do here in California." She said, "I'm not giving a hand signal. I'm trying to throw away a piece of gum." What traffic? I've been in heavy traffic before, but it's the first time I ever locked bumpers, and they were both mine. California's jammed with tourists, too. I passed 50 cars from other states. That's how I knew they were from other states. They let me. Yes, sir, there are a lot of out-of-state cars on the road. You can tell by the pictures and the license plates. Idaho has a potato, Iowa has an ear of corn, and California has a roller bandage and a splint. And there's a big difference between the traffic in the east and in the west. Back east, everyone drives as though they know where they're going. Out here, they drive as though they know where they're going. They've already picked out the pallbearers. But everybody likes to travel. Crosby wants to go to Europe, but he can't stay long. If he's not back here in 90 days, the government's going to sue him for non-support.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next voice you'll hear will be that of Jack Webb. Tonight, in his role as Sergeant Joe Friday, he will take us step by step through the investigation of a criminal case.
It was Monday, January 20th. It was cool in Los Angeles, topcoat weather. I was working the day watch out of homicide. My name's Friday. The boss, Captain Kresnik, told me to expect a new partner. I don't know too much about this officer. He's just been transferred to the detective division. Supposed to be a hot shot. Now, we'll see. 9:40 a.m. The door opened.
Anyone for criminals?
Who are you?
I'm Officer Hope. Captain Kresnik told me to report here. Are you Sergeant Friday?
That's right.
Well, we're detectives. Let's catch a crook. I got my badge, my blackjack, my handcuffs, my gun, and a bus ticket to San Diego.
Bus ticket to San Diego?
Yeah, in case of trouble, I'll go there till it blows over.
All right, sit down, Hope. Let's get acquainted.
Okay.
You know something? You look a lot like Bob Hope.
I can't help it. I was in an accident.
That's a pretty fair patch-up job. Hope, where you been working in the department?
I was in uniform in the traffic detail.
That's so?
I was pretty good at it, too. I handed out 3,000 parking tickets a day.
3,000 a day? How could you do that?
I put the tickets on the cars before they left the factory.
Well, it sounds like you enjoy your work.
Yeah, I love being in the force. I've always been a cop.
Always?
Sure. The day I was born, the doctor slapped me. And I arrested him for assault and battery.
Well, now you're in the detective division.
Yeah, and I figure I ought to do pretty good. I can smell a crime a mile away.
Yeah, well, you sure got the equipment.
Thank you.
Hope, you might as well start learning about your new assignment.
Okay, Sergeant.
Now, in the police department, they refer to the detective division as the brains.
The brains, huh?
Yeah. How come you got transferred?
Well, it was kind of a reward. You see, I caught that bank bandit, Grandma.
No kidding. How'd you swing that?
Well, I found out she was hanging around a certain bar, so I went in there and slipped a Mickey in her Lydia Pinkhams.
Nice work.
It was a real struggle taking her in. I got hurt.
You did, huh?
Yeah, I backed into one of her knitting needles. When I was questioning her, I had the feeling she kind of went for me.
Yeah, you'd make a lovely couple.
Well, I'm all through with romance.
What's the matter, no girlfriend?
I had a girl, went steady with her. For 3 years, we were never out of each other's sight.
In love?
No, I lost the keys to the handcuffs. Look, Friday, what are we sitting around here for? Let's get on a case. Let's go somewhere and snoop.
All right, take it easy. You'll get your chance.
I'm ready to. I've been practicing my jiu-jitsu.
Pretty good at it, huh?
Good, I'm perfect. I even invented a jiu-jitsu hold of my own. It's unbeatable. No matter what you try to do to me, I can throw you over my head right into that corner. Go ahead, make a pass at me. I'll show you.
Okay, here I come.
Well, don't just stand there. Pick me up.
Now, you listen, Hope. I don't mind you being a beaver, but there are a couple of things... I'll get it. Homicide, Friday. Yeah. Yeah. How long ago? Yeah. Okay, got it.
What is it?
Guy just been found dead. 16 Conway Street. Looks like murder. Let's go. A.M. Hope and I got a car out of the police garage and headed for Hollywood. 10:42, we arrived at 16 Conway Street. It was one of those white stucco apartment hotels. We parked the car, and on the way in, I got all the available facts from the patrolman on duty at the door. The murdered man's name was Barney Dean. He was a theater... He was a theater manager, lived alone. Seemed to be a respectable citizen. Or was a respectable citizen. One of the tenants in the building had discovered the body and called the police. 11 a.m. Hope and I entered the murdered man's apartment. The coroner was there, just getting ready to leave. Hi, Doc.
Hello, Sergeant. That's the body right there. Who's this with you?
Oh, that's my partner, Detective Hope. New man, first case.
Hello, son. First case, huh? Ever see a real stiff stretched out before?
Yes, New Year's Eve.
Who was it? Who was it?
Me.
Hey, Doc, any idea of the cause of death?
Well, he was struck from behind with a blunt instrument, causing the collapse of the posterior section of the cranial cavity, cutting the vascular system and splintering the medulla oblongata.
I'd like to see the Blue Cross plan fix that.
Well, I gotta be on my way. Hey, good luck with your first case, son.
Thanks, Doc.
And if you're ever down at the morgue, be sure and drop in.
Okay, and if you're not there, I'll lie down and wait for you.
So long, Friday.
Man, I wouldn't have his job for anything, fooling around with stiffs at the morgue all day.
Yeah, same thing when he gets home. He lives in Pasadena.
Hey, Friday, I got a feeling about this case. I think that guy laying there on the floor was leading a double life. Respectable theater manager half the time, hoodlum the other half.
Are you kidding?
No, you can never tell. Just last week, the FBI picked up an innocent-looking guy who had a terrific racket.
What was he doing?
Smuggling Democrats into Washington.
Friday, sorry. Sometimes my sense of humor almost gets away from me.
Yeah, well, you can't blame it for trying. All right, we got work to do here, Hope. Grab this tape measure and take some measurements. I'll write them down.
Right. Here we go. Distance from body to floor, 11 feet.
11 feet.
What's going on here? What's all the excitement?
Who are you?
I'm the landlady, and I... Oh, Mr. Dean, what's happened? Get up off the floor, you'll catch your death of cold.
Look, lady, we're afraid there's been some trouble here. Mr. Dean is dead.
What? Well, don't just stand around. Do something. Call the automobile club.
All right, now calm down, ma'am. We're police officers. We'd just like to ask you a few questions here.
Police officers?
That's right. I'm Sergeant Friday. This is Detective Hope.
How do you do?
Oh, I've seen your face before. Have you been in an accident?
Ma'am, there's been a murder.
Poor Mr. Dean.
Oh, you two were friendly.
Oh, yes. We even took dancing lessons together. Now I'll have to call up and cancel.
That's right. It takes two to tango.
Lady, where were you yesterday?
Right here in the building, in my apartment on the ground floor. I watched television all day long. I didn't leave my TV set for a minute.
Why not?
I heard a rumor Lucille Ball might do it again.
Look, lady, how does it happen you weren't here when Mr. Dean's body was discovered?
I was out doing my shopping.
Shopping?
Yes.
Lady, so far all we have is your word that you were out shopping this morning. That's not good enough. Can you prove that?
Why, sure. I've got the proof right here in the shopping bag.
Now, let's see it.
There.
We won't need you anymore.
Thank you. Bye, Mr. Friday.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Hope.
Goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Dean.
Don't wait for an answer.
Well, we got work to do here.
Yeah, let's go downtown and report.
January 25th. 5 days went by. No break at all. Every decent lead washed out. 1 p.m. Captain of the Detectives Kresnik sent for us. Hope and I walked down the hall to his office. Now looks like we're stuck.
Yeah.
Tough case.
Yeah.
Develop anything in those runs you made over at the lab?
Not much. I processed the MO of the DOA without getting a make. Then I ran a 184 through the LP file and tried for a COA on the PD.
What does that mean?
I was hoping you knew.
Well, here we are. Let's go in and get it over with.
Come in.
Captain?
Well, Friday, Hope, what about it? 5 days have gone by, you haven't made any progress.
Well, this case is a lulu. Not one decent lead.
Well, there was some evidence. What about the fingerprints found on the scene?
They turned out to be Officer Hope's, sir.
There were some footprints.
Officer Hope's, too, sir.
And a handkerchief.
Officer Hope's.
Well, what about the pretty blonde girl in the silk wrapper across the hall?
Well, I'm not on duty all the time, you know.
Well, we'll keep trying, Captain. Just give us a few more days. We'll break the case.
We've got to have action. The pressure's on.
Yes, sir?
The mayor's on the commissioner's neck, the commissioner's on the chief's neck, and the chief's on my neck.
If the top man can juggle, it's a wonderful act.
All right, let's go, Hope. police work, you take the tough with the good. This case was one of the tough ones. But just when it looked bad, we got a break. Through an informant, we learned the murdered man had a girlfriend. She was a singer in a joint over on the east side, the Kit Kat Club. 11:31 p.m. Hope and I got a squad car and headed for the Kit Kat Club. Down through Lower Main Street, the toughest section of L.A.
Not very classy, is it?
Skid Row. Cesspool of the city. Gin mills, hock shops, flea bag hotels. This is the bottom. Nobody lives down here but the cheap crooks, winos, and stumble bums.
Would you mind stopping at that next house?
What for?
I want to see if I got any mail today.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you weren't kidding. I can always tell a wino by the way he walks on his heels.
Careful or I'll breathe on you. But I really did live in a tough section like this when I was a kid. I'd be a member of a gang of pickpockets right now, except my mother wouldn't let me join.
Well, you were smart to listen to her.
I had to. She was the boss of the mob. There's the place in the corner, the Kit Kat Club.
Now, watch your step in here. There may be fireworks.
Don't worry. Us hopes have a steady eye. My grandfather used to shoot a hole through the ace of spades at 100 yards.
Well, that's pretty good.
It's the best that's ever been done with chewing tobacco.
All right, here's the door. You go first.
You're the sergeant. You go first.
All right, come on. Hey, mister. You the manager of this place?
That's right. What? Oh, officers. Step up to the bar. I'll pour you boys a drink.
Oh, no thanks. No thanks. No thanks. Well, just a little one. This would be the first highball ever served in an oil drum.
All right, let's skip the drinks. We're on duty. Right. We want to talk to a girl you got working here. Your singer.
Hey, Miss Whiting's about to do her number.
All right, we'll sit at one of these tables and wait till she's finished.
If I am fancy free and love to wander, it's just the gypsy in my soul. There's someone calling me from way out yonder. It's just the gypsy in my soul. I've got to give vent to my emotion. I'm only content having my way. There is no other life of which I'm fonder. It's just the gypsy in my soul. If I am fancy free and I love to wander, it's just the gypsy in my soul. There's someone calling me from way out yonder. It's just the gypsy in my soul. No cares, no strings. Just the gypsy in my soul, in my soul. It's just the gypsy in my soul.
Oh, Miss Whiting.
Yes.
Liked your song. Can we have a word with you?
That's the trouble with working in a dive like this. You guys are always trying to make a pickup.
Oh, you got me wrong, ma'am. We're police officers.
Then why is this other guy kissing my shoulder?
You got me right. I'm a wolf.
I'd like to ask you some questions, miss. Mind if we step into your dressing room?
Come on. Will it take long? I'd like to change my clothes.
Go right ahead. Don't mind us. Sorry to inconvenience you, ma'am. We're investigating a crime.
That's right.
I want to ask you a straight question, and I want a straight answer.
Yeah.
Where were you Thursday night around 11 o'clock?
I was shooting pool with some of the boys.
Not you!
It's none of your business where I was.
How old are you?
22.
22. According to our records, you have a son 19 years old.
I'm married young.
Glad to know you. I'm from Tennessee, too.
Well, I don't know what this is all about, but I assure you I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, I wish I could believe that, sister. You got a record as long as my arm. In 1946, you were arrested for rolling a drunk.
Was my boyfriend, and he wasn't drunk. He was plastered.
The charge says you were rolling him.
It's the only way I could get him home.
I think we're making a mistake, Sarge. She's just a sweet kid. She can't be mixed up in this.
Are you kidding? 16 stolen cars in the last 5 years, 4 mink coats, 5 diamond wristwatches. Why, this dame will go for anything that's fast and loose.
She will? Stay right here, baby. I'll go home and get my straw hat and send some.
Now, you listen, sister. A boyfriend of yours named Barney Dean was knocked off a few nights ago. You still haven't told us where you were last Thursday night.
Why don't you guys wake up? I was singing right here in this club in front of 50 witnesses.
We checked the girl's story. It was true. Another lead gone. We reported back to headquarters. 12:25 a.m. We entered Captain Kresnik's office.
All right, you said you had something. What is it?
I broke the case, Captain.
You did?
Well, we couldn't get it because it's so obvious. Now, think back. Everything points to one man. Now, I hate to say this, Captain. The guilty man is one of us. He just joined the force.
Gee, I wonder who that could be.
All right, Hope, you can start talking anytime.
Are you kidding? I had nothing to do with
it. What about it, Hope?
Yes, spill it. Let's have it.
Okay. Okay, you got me.
You admit you killed Barney Dean?
What else can I do? I know you've been watching me. Watching, 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 waiting for my nerves to go to pieces. All right. I'll talk. I'm cracking.
Look, please, just crack. Don't come all apart.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be messy. To kill him.
Why?
Because he did a terrible thing.
What?
He did a horrible thing.
Well, what was it?
An awful, unforgivable thing. He deserved to die.
Oh, stop this, Hope. What did he do?
On the marquee of his theater, he put Crosby's name ahead of mine.
Well, that just about winds it up, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Jack Webb, star of Dragnet, for being with us tonight. And I hope the police departments that were listening in will forgive me for joining them temporarily. It was all in fun. I know we all appreciate the great job those boys do for us. Every man who wears the badge of law risks his life for us every morning when he goes to work. These are the guys who hold the line on the home front, protecting our children, our homes, our communities. They deserve all the support we can give them. Thank you.
The Bob Hope Show is brought to you through the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from February 4th, 1953 on NBC. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up next, the Oscar-winning motion picture, The Philadelphia Story, adapted on Lady Esther's Screen Guild Players. The Academy gave the film two awards, one for Best Writing for Donald Stewart and James Stewart for Best Actor in a Leading Role, a role that he thought he was miscast in. And when the nominations came up, he had no plans to attend the Academy Awards, but was given a call just shortly before the ceremony saying that he should probably make his way down. Stewart thought that Henry Fonda and his role in The Grapes of Wrath that year should have won the Best Actor Oscar. We'll hear Jimmy Stewart next, along with Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant, original stars of the picture, in the CBS radio adaptation from March 17, 1947.
Good evening. Tonight, Lady Esther takes exceptional pride in presenting the Screen Guild Players and Philip Barry's delightful modern classic, The Philadelphia Story. It stars the three brilliant players who made the story so memorable on the screen, Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, and Jimmy Stewart. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in The Philadelphia Story. Tracy Lord's first marriage to C.K. Dexter Haven was dissolved by a vigorous right to the jaw. And now Tracy is about to be married again, the season's most important event to mainline society in Philadelphia and streamline journalism in New York, which brings us to the office of Mr. Kidd, owner and editor of Spy Magazine.
Miss Imbrie, you'll take your camera, of course. Connor, you'll take your own special talents.
Where?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Your assignment will be Spy's most sensational achievement, Tracy Lord.
Tracy?
Big game hunting in Africa, fox hunting in Pennsylvania, married on impulse and divorced in rage, and always unapproachable by the press. The unapproachable Miss Lord.
Now, look here, if you think
the Philadelphia story, closed with the portals of snobbish fox hunting, wait. No Hunter of Foxes is Spy Magazine. Nevertheless, presented for the first time, quote, a wedding day inside mainline society.
Or what the kitchen maid saw through the keyhole, unquote, huh?
You're the writer, Connor. I'm only the publisher.
All right, publisher, take this. Quote, no hunter of buckshot on the rear is cagey, crafty Connor, unquote. Closed paragraph.
Closed job, closed bank account. Look, Mr. Kidd, how could we even get inside the estate, let alone into the house?
Oh, it's been arranged. Miss Wallace?
Yes, sir?
Send him in, please.
Now, Liz, now, wait a minute. We won't do it. It's degrading, demeaning, undignified.
So is an empty stomach. Now, just relax. We'll have to...
Hello. Who are you?
Connor, this gentleman has been employed in our Buenos Aires office. I believe he can help us.
How?
Tracy Lord's brother, Junius, is in the American Embassy down there, and an old friend of this gentleman. He'll introduce you to the family as an intimate friend of Junius.
Dear old Junius, hmm? Well, does Tracy Lord know this guy?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you might say Tracy and I grew up together.
You might also say you're C.K. Dexter Haven, and you were Tracy Lord's first husband.
Yes, you might.
Holy muck, what goes on here?
Oh, I remember that honeymoon very well, Mr. Dexter Haven. You and she in a little sailboat. The true love, wasn't it?
That's right. How did you know?
I was the one photographer whose camera you didn't smash. You were terribly nice about it. You threw it in the ocean.
Oh, one of those, huh? Yes, that's right. I rather thought our honeymoon was our own business.
Incidentally, he paid for all the cameras, Mike. I got a sweet letter of apology, too.
Oh, always the gentleman, huh?
I wouldn't count on that.
Now then, what are the plans? The wedding is Saturday. This is Thursday. They should spend tomorrow night as guests of the Lord.
Now, wait a minute. There's something screwy here. Now, if he's resigned, why is he doing this and let... Uh-oh, I get it, mister. Oh, you want to get even with your ex-bride, huh?
As one gentleman to another, that may be exactly what I want. I'll have a car pick you up in North Philadelphia tomorrow noon. Good day.
How do you like that? He just walks out on us, just as though we were headed...
A handkerchief, Mike. There's a little spit in your eye. It shows.
Oh, dear, so many things to do in so little time. Tracy, when you finish listing those wedding presents...
Mother, how do you spell omelette?
Two L's, two M's, one or the other.
Omelette? That's a funny wedding present.
Dinah, dear, it's an omelette dish. This one...
It stinks.
Oh, darling, don't say stinks. If necessary, smells, but only if absolutely necessary.
Mother, if I ever finish writing down... Oh, this lamp, isn't it awful?
Yeah, let me see that card. Oh, yes, friends of your father's.
Wouldn't you know? What are they, tap dancers or just musical comedy producers?
Tracy, that's hardly fair to your father's interest in the arts.
The arts, the art of putting up a fortune to display the shapely legs of some...
Tracy, please.
Well, I'm certainly glad George isn't like that. Mother, isn't George an angel?
George is an angel.
Is he handsome or is he not?
George is handsome.
I like Dexter.
Really? Why don't you stop the wedding?
How?
Get smallpox.
Oh, please. Don't give her any ideas, Tracy. Now, Dinah.
Gee, Tracy's always so mean about Dexter.
Well, darling, he was rather mean to her.
Did he really sock her?
Dinah. Really, Mother, if I don't choke her before Saturday...
Oh, that'd stop the wedding, wouldn't it?
It would not. You're supposed to be riding, young lady.
Yes, Dinah, they must be waiting at the stable.
All right, all right. Mother.
Yes, dear.
How do you get smallpox?
Dinah, please go.
Oh, I'm going.
Now then, Tracy, let's get those lists finished and...
Mother. Mother, that whistle.
Dexter! Dexter, you're back!
Dinah, my dream girl, my own true love.
Oh, no, it can't be. He wouldn't dare.
Mother, look, he's here. Mother, it's Dexter.
Well, hello.
Dexter Haven, you go right back where you came from.
I can't. Dinah says it's too awful here without me. Redhead, if you don't look in the pink. Much too nice for George.
If you think you can walk in here and...
Dexter, tell me, how is Junius?
Oh, Junius is fine. Heartbroken, of course, not to be here for the wedding. I suggested representing him as best man, but...
Dexter, I appreciate your offer, but I'm afraid George would prefer to have his best man sober.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you'll like the people Junius did send.
People?
That Junius sent, did you say?
Yes, Miss Imbrie and Mr. Connor. They're waiting now in the South Parlor. You really ought to tell them what rooms they're to have.
Rooms?
Dexter, have you switched from liquor to dope by any chance?
Well, it was Junius's idea, you see. They've been terribly nice to him, and when they said they were coming to Philadelphia...
Dexter Haven, you're lying. I can always tell.
Can you, Red?
Yes, you have a habit of... Just a minute now. You went to work after the divorce, didn't you?
Well, not right after. First, I tested several hundred bottles of bourbon.
But after that, you took a job in South America. What for?
A magazine.
And it wasn't by any chance spy magazine.
Oh, you're just a mass of intuition.
And I don't suppose Junius's friends are photographers by any chance.
Well, not exactly by chance.
I thought you were low, Dex, but I never thought, oh, you...
Ah, now you're slipping, Red. I used to be afraid of that look, the withering glance of the goddess.
I didn't think that alcohol would destroy your last shred of decency so soon. I ought to...
Tracy, please... Dinah.
Oh, Mother, not yet.
Come along, dear. You're late for your ride.
But, Mother, maybe he's going to sock her again.
Dex, I'll have no argument about this. I want those people out of here and you too.
Yes, Your Majesty. But first, could I interest you in some small blackmail?
No, you... What?
Here you are, galley proofs. An article complete with snapshots, details, and insinuations ready for publication in Spy about your father and that dancer in New York.
Father and Tina Mara? But they can't. They can't publish this. It's got to be stopped.
Well, it is stopped temporarily, if you'll allow Miss Imbrie and Mr. Connor to turn in the story on your wedding. And when Mr. Kidd says story, he means story.
I'm going to be sick.
Yes, dear. An intimate day with a society bride.
I am sick.
Too bad. Well, they're in the South Parlor, Your Majesty. Shall I conduct you in?
Don't bother, please. I'm sure I know the way. I'm Tracy Lord, though I suppose you know that, but any friend of Junius's is a friend of... So nice having you with us.
We're happy to be here.
It's a pleasure.
Too bad Junius couldn't be here. At least one male member of the family, too.
Hey, where's your father?
Darling, Papa, I do hope you'll stay for my wedding.
Yes, we'd like to.
Yeah, that was more or less the idea.
The house is rather a mess, of course, but we'll try to make you as comfortable as... Oh, what a cunning little camera.
Wait, I take pictures with it.
Well, I hope you'll take loads. Dear Papa and Mama aren't allowing any reporters in, that is, except for little Mr. Grace, who does the social news. Mr. Connor, can you imagine a grown-up man sinking so low?
No, it does seem pretty bad.
You're a sort of a writer, aren't you, Mr. Connor?
Oh, sort of.
A book?
Yeah.
Under what name do you publish?
My own, Macaulay Connor. Just try and call me that.
I won't. What's the Macaulay for?
Well, my father taught English history. I'm Mike to my friend.
Of whom you have many, I'm sure. English history. It's always fascinated me. Cromwell, Robin Hood, Jack the Ripper. Where did he teach? I mean, your father.
Well, he in a high school in South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend. It sounds like dancing, doesn't it? And this is your first visit to Philadelphia, a quaint old place, don't you think? Odd customs and such, where the Scrapples eat biddle on Sunday. But then you're still quite young.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm 30.
Really? One book isn't much for a man of 30. I don't mean to criticize. You probably have other interests outside your work.
No, none. Unless...
Oh, how sweet. Are you two going together?
Well, sort of.
Engaged, I presume.
No, but...
But very much in love.
Well, isn't that a little personal?
Is it? Well, it's so very interesting, Miss Embry. Miss Embry, if a man says he loves a girl, don't you think he ought to marry her?
Hey, now, just look.
Please, Mr. Connor. I asked Miss Embry a question.
Well, it depends.
I'm disappointed, Miss Embry. I've been very frank with you. However, I'll send the butler to show you your rooms. You'll join us, I hope, at the swimming pool.
Wow.
That's what I say. Who's interviewing whom?
Yeah, just steady, old girl. Now, don't let her throw you.
You want to take over?
I want to go home. But since I'm on the job, I'll settle for the swimming pool.
And then she came out and he wandered in and then went there and then find out. Mr. Connor.
Yeah, you said to come down here. I didn't mean to interrupt your reading. It's nothing important, I hope.
You bet. It's very important. It's your book.
Oh? Oh. Well, I didn't know you had it.
Well, I didn't. I sent to the library for it.
Oh? Well, you like it?
I like it very much. Especially the story called With the Rich and Mighty. I think I like that one best.
Really? Well, I got the title from a Spanish peasant's proverb. With the rich and mighty, always a little patience.
I like that. Tell me something, will you, Connor? When you can write a book like this, how can you possibly do anything else?
Well, you'll never believe it, but there are people in this world that have to earn a living.
Yeah, of course, but people buy books, don't they?
Not if there's a library around. That book represents 2 solid years' work. That netted Connor less than...
Oh, heck, that's Dexter. Look, stand by, will you, Connor? I don't want to be alone with him.
Well, well, there you are. Funny, just where I thought you'd be.
Fancy seeing you here.
Orange juice? Certainly.
Don't tell me you've forsaken your beloved whiskey and whiskies.
No, but I think a pale pastel shade would be a better color for me today. And how about you, Mr. Connor? You drink, don't you? Alcohol, I mean.
A little.
A little? And you a writer?
Dexter, will you do something for me?
Anything, Red? What?
Crawl into some small hole until after the wedding?
Oh, I couldn't do that. At least not until I've...
Connor, don't miss a word. Don't miss a word. We're going to talk about me.
Why not? You find the subject fascinating. You're far and away your favorite person in the world. Of course, Mr. Connor, she's generous to a fault.
To a fault, Mr. Connor.
Except to other people's faults. For instance, to what used to be my deep and gorgeous thirst.
It was disgusting.
Weakness, sure, and strength is your religion. Well, when I realized I was not expected to be a loving husband and a good companion, but a kind of a high priest to a virgin goddess.
Dexter, you...
Well, then my drinks grew more frequent and deeper, that's all.
Connor, don't you let him make you think... Why, he's gone.
I like him.
Dexter, what are you trying to make me out as?
Red, what do you fancy yourself as? What are you trying to do with this marriage to George? How can you even think of it?
George Kittredge is everything you're not. He's been poor and he's had to work and he's had to fight for everything, and I love him as I never even began to love you.
Really? Well, you really are in love.
Yes, I am, and you needn't sound so contemptuous.
I'm not, Red. Never of you. You could be the finest woman in the world if you just learned to have some regard for human frailty. If only you'd slip a little sometime. But I guess that's hopeless. Your sense of inner divinity won't allow that. This goddess must and shall remain intact. This woman must represent her class, a special class, the married maidens.
So help me, Dexter, if you say another word...
Tracy! Darling, you there by the pool?
George...
That's a new high priest. I'll run along. Here, Red, I brought you a little wedding present. Sorry I had no ribbon to tie it up with. So long, Red.
A present? Well, I wonder what... Oh...
Oh, there you are, my dear. I thought I'd run over and... Tracy, aren't you going to say hello?
Yeah. Hello, George.
What's that you've got?
Oh, a wedding present from Dext.
A photograph?
A picture of the true love.
The what?
We sailed her up the coast of Maine and back the summer we were married. My, she was yar.
Yar? What's that?
It means, oh, easy to handle, quick to the helm, fast, bright. Everything a boat should be, until it develops dry rot. Oh, George.
Well, there now, he'll not upset you anymore. He never appreciated you anyway. How could he? Anyone as wonderful as you.
George.
It's what I've always thought from the first time I saw you. You're like some marvelous, distant, queen, I guess. There's kind of beautiful purity about you.
George.
It's what everyone feels. They worship you, darling.
George, listen, I don't want to be worshipped. I want to be loved.
Oh, you're that, too.
I mean, really loved.
Of course. And now I'll have to hurry, darling. Big party tonight, you know. I'll pick you up around 9.
Well, I... Connor. Hey, Connor. Are you around here somewhere?
Yeah, here in the dressing room. Are you calling me?
Yes, I was. Connor, do you ever take a drink?
A drink? Oh, yes, yes, sometimes.
Well, that's good. Let's go in and open a bottle of champagne.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild show, starring Katharine Hepburn, Cary Grant, and Jimmy Stewart, will follow in a moment. Well, that bottle of champagne was just the first. Later, at the party on a neighboring estate, Tracy and Mike sampled quite a few more, until George departed in a huff and left Mike to escort Tracy home. That's where we find them now, just arriving with a bottle they brought along for the road.
Well, here we are, Professor.
You know, it's funny I never noticed this lake before.
Silly, that's a swimming pool.
You know, champagne's tricky. I'm used to bourbon. Bourbon's a slap on the back. Champagne's a heavy mist before my eyes.
A quick swim will fix that. Dexter and I always swam after parties.
Well, let's forget about Dexter. Have a drink now.
Why not? Mike, do you hear a telephone ringing?
I did a little while ago. No, I can't hear it. Well, now. Yes, I do. No. Well, it's very far away.
Mm-hmm. That's my bedroom telephone, and it's probably George. I better go in and... No, it stopped.
Fine. Drink your champagne.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Hello, you.
Hello.
You look fine.
I feel fine.
Did you like the party?
Sure. The prettiest sight in this fine, pretty world. The privileged class enjoying its privileges.
You're a snob, Connor.
No doubt. Hey, Tracy. Hey, you can't marry that guy.
George, I'm going to. Why not?
Well, you don't match up.
Professor, you're stepping out of character.
My mistake.
Oh, don't apologize.
Who's apologizing?
Really, I never knew such a man.
I guess I never knew a girl like you, Tracy.
Yeah?
Tracy, you're wonderful. There's a magnificence in you.
Mike.
A magnificence that comes out of your eyes and in your voice and on the way you stand and the way you walk. There's fires banked down in you, Tracy. Hearth fires and holocausts.
You don't think I'm like a goddess?
Your flesh and blood, that's the blank, unholy surprise. But you're the golden girl, Tracy. You're full of life and warmth and delight. Hey, what goes on? Have you got tears in your eyes?
Shut up. Oh, Mike, keep talking, talk, will you?
What good is talk, Tracy?
Golly, Moses. Well, nobody's ever kissed me like that.
Tracy, I want to tell you something.
Please, all of a sudden I've got the shakes.
Please, Tracy.
It's as though my insteps were melting away. Oh, gee, what is it? Have I got feet of clay or something?
Tracy, you're so lovely.
Wait, I know. The pool, there's a moon, and it's warm, and we could go...
Now?
No. Mike, put me in your pocket, and let's go swimming.
You see, Dexter, I had to tell someone. Oh, I could hardly wait till you got here this morning.
Yes, but Dinah, my love, are you sure it wasn't just a dream?
Well, I can't be positive, but...
Good morning.
Well, what ho, the bride.
In her wedding dress.
Such a lovely day. Is everybody fine? That's fine.
Hmm. How fine are you?
Well, I don't know what's the matter with me. I can hardly open my eyes. I must have had too much sun yesterday.
It's awfully easy to get too much.
Tracy, you're not really going to, are you?
Going to what?
Marry George, after last night.
Last night? What are you talking about?
Tracy, don't you even remember?
Remember what?
Well, I've been telling Dinah, it was just a dream.
A dream? Well, what kind of a dream?
Well, last night, it was awful late, I guess. I woke up and looked out of my window, and guess what I saw?
What?
Mr. Connor.
Mike?
Uh-huh. He was sort of coming from the pool, with both arms full of something. And what do you think it turned out to be?
What?
You, and some clothes. And you were sort of crooning.
I never crooned in my life. Then what?
Well, then he carried you into the house, and I could hear him take you into your room.
Mike and me? Well, I'm going crazy. I'm standing here on my own two hands and going crazy. What else?
Well, after that, he...
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, well. Morning, Connor. How do you feel?
Well,
Mike,
I...
what's happened to your chin?
My chin? Oh, well, you see...
Tracy, I didn't get to tell you. When Mr. Connor came out again, George was waiting for him.
No.
Yes. And Mr. Connor sort of got hit on the chin.
George?
No, me.
You, Dex, you were there too? Good grief, why didn't you sell tickets?
I'll say Dexter was there. What a clip he gave me.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Mike. I thought I'd better hit you before George did. He's in better shape than I am.
Dex, Mike, will somebody please tell me what happened before I go stark raving mad?
On the level, you don't know?
Of course I don't know. I don't remember anything.
Ah, lucky Tracy. She's drawn a blank.
Shut up, Dex. Mike, you tell me.
Well,
Tracy, are you ready, darling? The guests are all here and the bishop's waiting. And, oh, dear, where is George? George, good heavens, Tracy, I forgot he was here at 10 and left this note.
For me? Well, I wonder what he could have...
Well, go on, read it out loud, Red. We're all friends.
Yes, I will. Listen to this. Quote, "Your conduct last night was so shocking to my ideals of womanhood that my attitude toward you and the prospects of a happy and useful life together..."
Tracy?
Hello, George.
Tracy, I didn't dream you. All these people...
Why, it's only a letter from a friend. They're my friends, too.
I thought I ought to come and explain. I mean, I...
It's clear enough, George. You're chucking me over and good riddance.
Well, after all, I have a point, you know, on the very eve of your marriage.
Well, just a minute, George. Mike, why don't you tell him what happened last night?
Well, exactly two kisses and one late swim, after which I deposited Tracy in her room and I left.
You mean to say that's all there was to it?
I do.
Why? Was I so terribly unattractive, Mike? So distant, so forbidding that you...
No, you were extremely attractive and far from distant or forbidding, but you were also,
You were pretty pixelated, Red.
Yeah, and there are rules about that.
Thank you, Mike. I think men are wonderful.
Oh, Tracy, perhaps I was a little hasty, but, well, a man does expect his wife to...
To behave herself naturally.
To behave herself naturally.
Will you please...
Well, I'm sorry.
Tracy, if you're willing to let bygones be bygones, what do you say?
Goodbye, George.
I beg your pardon?
I said goodbye.
But we have
to... You see, you're much too good for me, George. 100 times too good. And I make you most unhappy, most.
Very well. That's how you want it. Possibly it's just as well. Good day.
Well, congratulations, Red. Or is that proper without a groom?
Hey, we can make it proper, Tracy.
Yeah, Mike?
I got you into this. I'll get you out of it. Will you marry me, Tracy?
No, Mike. Thank you, but... No.
Why not?
Because I don't think that nice girl with the camera would like it, and I'm not sure that you would, and I'm even a little doubtful about myself.
Well, there goes your wedding music, Tracy.
And besides, I made a mistake yesterday. I opened a wedding present too soon. Present without any ribbons on it.
Red.
Just a picture of a boat. Boat I don't think I've ever forgotten.
Red, I've got an old wedding license, the one we didn't use when we eloped. What do you say?
Dex, are you sure?
Not in the least, but I'll risk it, will you?
And you wouldn't be doing it just to save my face?
Why shouldn't I save it? It's a nice little face.
Oh, Dex, I'll be yah this time. I promise, darling, I'll be yah.
Be whatever you like. You're my redhead. Are you all set?
All set. Oh, never have I been so full of love. Mike, how do I look?
Like a queen, like a goddess.
That's funny, Mike, because you know how I feel. For the first time in my life, like a human being.
Thank you, Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, and Katharine Hepburn for a most delightful half hour.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Bradley, there isn't an actor or actress in Hollywood who isn't eager to come here and take part in the great work this program does for the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. Am I right, boys?
You are right, Kate.
That's fine. Say that again.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present The Moon is Our Home. It will star Fred McMurray and Virginia Bruce. Be sure to listen. The Philadelphia Story was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence, adapted by Harry Cronman, and was presented through arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of It Happened in Brooklyn, starring Frank Sinatra, Catherine Grayson, Peter Lawford, and Jimmy Durante. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Catherine Hepburn can currently be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, The Sea of Grass. Cary Grant can soon be seen in Dorie Sherry's RKO production, The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. James Stewart can now be seen in Liberty Films' production of Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Lady Esther Screen Guild Show on Tuned To Yesterday from March 17, 1947 on CBS, adapting the Philadelphia Story, which won two Oscars after it came out in 1940. And so ends this hour of comedy on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.